Hey friends, some of you will know that TJ and I get obsessive about some pop culture, and in celebration of Star Wars Day, we are posting an edited version of our discussion of one Luke Skywalker. I hope to upload the remainder of the Star Wars discussion before the real Star Wars Day, which is May the 25th. But if you enjoy these kinds of explorations into great characters, do jump over to our movie typing podcast. It's linked in the show notes, or you can simply look up movie typing and look for our symbol. We go through villains, we go through Avengers, we go through love songs, we go through summer classics like Jurassic Park, Clue, and The Godfather. Take a listen, send us your thoughts. But for now, may the 4th be with you.
Yep. I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow!
Good morning, Vietnam!
What country are you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
All right.
These cars are 11.
How do you like their map?
First rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
We love some movie characters, and sometimes the best way to get into the characters we love most is to dig deep into their motives, their calling, their sense of self, talk about what they really want. This is Movie Typing, where we select, engage, and unveil the intentions and drive the greatest characters on film. My name is Jeff Cook. I'm a philosopher in Greeley, Colorado, and with me is TJ Wilson, businessman, lover of theology, and personality typing expert.
Hello.
Star Wars ends up being a defining set of movies for our culture and for specifically our generation. It's not just that these are heroic action films. It's that these are morality plays that are teaching you what it looks like to be a good person.
Right.
And we are growing up watching these going, oh, this is what it's about.
Right.
So we're going to continue on. We're jumping into the sevens after our deep dive into Vader.
Let's do it.
Quick word on the sevens.
So sevens, also sometimes called the enthusiast. These are still in the head triad. They are fear is part of their world, and safety and security is what they're looking for. But the way that they try to get it is by avoiding pain and negative experiences. So they want to have more and more and more fun and enjoyable things. And if they fill their life with good things, then they don't have to struggle through the bad things.
Would enjoyable things be like going to the Tashi station to pick up power converters?
You might say that.
We're just going to come out of the gates here with
the
two characters,
true.
The isn't
two
it?
Main characters that we need to look at. Anakin is a 6, and Luke Skywalker is a 7.
There is 7 all over this character.
Yep.
Not just with what he says, but especially with what the screenwriters are telling you.
Mm-hmm.
About his motivations, because
right.
There's a handful of times where there are other people who say, let me tell you who you are. And
yep.
Luke is like, yep, that's entirely who I am.
Yep.
Basics, like starting with the intelligence here. Why think that he's in the head triad?
Well, I think it's easy to see that fear is something that he struggles with.
Yep.
Just the experiences that he has, the way he expresses himself, and the things that he has to go through in order to come out the other side. So I'm particularly thinking of the cave on Dagobah,
mm-hmm.
Where he has to go into this space and face his fear.
Mm-hmm.
There's something not right here. I feel cold.
Death. That place is strong. But the dark side of the Force, a domain of evil it is. And you must go.
What's in there?
Only what you take with you. No weapons. You will not need them.
Like, fear is the biggest deal there, and that's the one thing that he has to overcome. So fear obviously being a ruling force here.
There is so much on Dagobah that is about his sevenness.
Yep.
He is stuck.
Yep.
His ship has crashed and he can't leave.
Right.
There is going into the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And then he begins to get in touch with the Force and start seeing the future. Because he's a seven, he's future focused.
Right.
And what he sees in the future consumes his mind. Right. And he says to Yoda,
I can't keep the vision out of my head. They're my friends. I gotta help them.
Because that's his intelligence center.
Right.
And that's where he's experiencing the world.
Right.
The other line I thought was really fun was that Han yells at Leia after they've rescued Leia. He says,
"He's the brains, sweetheart."
And I just thought that was a fun head triad overlap.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think that proves anything, but it made me laugh looking at that.
Yeah.
Is he an aggressive type?
Oh, yeah. He's always moving. Like, he's always doing something. He'll be the first one to run into, like, he's always active in that way, even when people are saying, don't stop, hold on a second.
Yes.
No, don't go find your family. We need to come up with a new plan. And like, he just runs.
I'm going to do the thing.
Yep.
I'm going to do the thing. This becomes, and I mentioned it earlier, but the idea that people are trying to lock him down and control him and say, this is your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
He's not running away because he wants control.
Right.
He's running away because he doesn't want to be stuck in your vision for my life.
Yep.
And that aggressive, that's what he's moving against.
Yeah.
Pitches himself off, of a tower, as it were, in Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
Because he does not want to be stuck in that other guy's vision of his life.
Right.
It is your destiny.
To hell with you, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jump off the building.
Yeah. And he wants to get off Tatooine because Tatooine is a prison for him. Like it's he's stuck as a, was he, it's a, he's a moisture farmer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
You're a seven in a desert. He's in the outer rim.
Yeah.
He says to C-3PO something like,
well, if there's a bright center to the universe, you're on the planet that it's farthest from.
Right.
He thinks that he's stuck out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And he just wants to go, like, his friends have all left to go join the rebellion.
Yep.
And he just wants to go on this adventure.
Yeah. There's a bunch of deleted scenes you can see online, and all of them are about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's him talking to people on Tatooine who are all leaving, and he's like, well, I wish I could go,
kind
of stuff.
And it's not about doing some kind of duty. It's not about doing the right thing. It's not about fighting the Empire. It's about getting off the rock.
Yeah. He actually, there is a line, actually, in New Hope where he's yelling at C-3PO. He says,
oh, Biggs is right. I'm never going to get out of here.
You know, if you're a, if you're a six, if you're a one, if you're a two,
mm-hmm.
What you're helping Uncle Owen, you're doing the moisture farm thing.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Or even going to fight the war because the war needs to be fought.
Yeah. It's not a duty thing. It's an adventure thing.
Right.
We'll talk quite a bit about adventure, I imagine, with what Yoda says.
Yeah.
One of the things that hits me in terms of stance is that the future-orientedness of Luke is kind of all over his experience of the Force. Some of the best world building is where Vader is torturing Han and Chewie. I didn't get this forever.
Mm-hmm.
There's the loud sound in Empire where Chewie is yelling.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you're like, what is this scene?
Right.
And then Han gets put in front of that electric Zapia thing and he starts yelling.
Why are they doing this?
And then he says to Leia,
they never even asked me any questions.
Right.
He's torturing them because their pain will resonate through the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's such great world building. Yeah. Anyway, feeling repression.
Mm-hmm.
That's also his stance.
Yeah.
Do you see that in this character?
I think it's all over who he is. He is unaware of how he actually feels about things.
Mm.
And he's not that engaged with how other people feel. Like, there are those scenes where his friends are being tortured and he wants to go save them, but it's because they're in danger and because there's an adventure to be had here.
Yeah, he's going to go, he's going to go save him.
Yeah.
There's a line from Yoda, it's one of the big ones, where he is like crying out to Luke's heart.
You must feel the force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes, even between the land and the ship.
That strikes me as a great image of stance.
And he's only processing the power of the force through his intellectual center.
Yes.
Like, this is the whole thing with him not being able to raise the ship. It's like, this is impossible. This is ridiculous. He's already seen so many displays of what the force can do. And yet, he sees this thing, it's like, he can't process that this is even possible. And Yoda is like, that's because you're using the wrong center.
I wonder if that ends up the feeling belief side. There's believing cognitively, but there's believing with your heart. Yep. And those are two different things.
Yeah.
He believes his father can turn.
Right.
That's not with his head. He believes that with his heart.
Right.
And that's engaging his feeling repressed side.
Right.
Boom. Coping style seems to me, likewise, as with a seven, sevens, when there's a problem, spin things positive.
Mm-hmm.
You see this with there's a problem, how do I relate to my father?
Right.
And notice the positive spin, there's still good in him.
Right.
Nobody else sees it. Obi-Wan's like, dude, that dude's gone.
Right.
Yoda is, that dude's gone.
No, they're still good in him.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah. It's going to be all right. And a lot of his sort of adventures and like the way that he pushes into these dangerous situations is a lot in that same line. It's the like we're gonna go do this amazing thing. It's like if you were a little more aware of how the world works, you would understand how dangerous and how badly this is gonna go.
Yeah,
but he's on board like a seven.
Okay, so let me tell you why I like The Last Jedi.
Okay. I like The Last Jedi too. Oh, okay. So we're good. Yeah. I ain't except for the casino scene.
It's the seven who has suffered. It's the seven who has failed in the adventure. I see Luke as a drunk priest.
Mm-hmm.
He put all his chips in on Jesus and it didn't work. And he totally took off and he just said, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
And he's just going to drink himself to death out in the middle of nowhere. And he's a seven. And his seven soul is on that island. He trashes his X-Wing in the sea, you know? And he's just going to die there.
Yeah.
He's going to embrace that. And then he gets called back into an adventure and he didn't want to go on it. Now, I hate the throw the lightsaber over the shoulder scene.
The tone of that is real weird.
But the image, what's seeking to be stated there of him not wanting to go on the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And then having a new character development that he's actually being called into. It's not just destiny or calling. It's... Well, maybe we should. Why is Luke come back into the fight at the end of Last Jedi?
See, I with Last Jedi, I actually think there's a fair representation of a very unhealthy move towards the stress of one. He is, like you said, chips all in, and it failed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in his sevenness, he retreats. To like he detaches himself entirely from his feeling center and then goes to duty.
Oh, sure.
And oneness. So he goes back to the seat of the Jedi and does the thing that he thinks absolutely must be done, which is ensure that the Jedi Order dies.
Yeah. And that's where, like, R2 is the one that pushes that button because he shows it's such a great callback. He shows the Leia video hologram that says, help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi, your only hope.
Yeah.
And that's who he's become.
Yeah. Remember your feelings.
Yeah. It's even, I was curious what your thoughts are on this. Like, not, there is something about finding his best self that he knows his best self and he's being called into that.
Yeah.
Talk about that verse 7, because it's, I feel like that's the fear side of things for mm-hmm. him. He doesn't want to jump back in and be hurt again. Or it's not a failure thing, I don't think, for Luke.
I don't think it's failure. I think it's from that place where he has been for so long, and like, this is the duty that I am supposed to be performed. He's now being called into the one thing that he has to offer.
I wonder if, to throw back to the last conversation about Vader, but I wonder if his love for Leia and the rebellion ends up being a motivator here.
Yeah. Showcased by, like, he intentionally stops and says what is essentially a goodbye to Leia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's interesting there, just to wrap up coping style, is Leia's talking about her son.
I held out hope for so long, but I know my son's gone.
And here's the positive spin.
No one's ever really gone.
And then he goes out to talk to him.
Right.
Ah! Yeah. He's an idealist. Affect mm-hmm. is all over this character. Yep. They want to show you that over and over. Obviously, one of the great scenes in cinematic history is him standing on that little hill looking at the binary sunset.
Right.
Having the majestic, epic, you are called into greatness music playing over him as he looks at the sunset and says to himself, I'm made for something amazing.
Right.
Riso and Hudson say sevens are frustrated when opportunities do not present themselves. Mm-hmm. That's how their idealism comes forth. That seems to me to be all over the New Hope.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know if that plays out in some of the other films in terms of his frustration. Does he strike you as a frustrated character?
Well, we see that on Dagobah. I think we see that in many different ways through his character, but it's a lot of them are a lot more subtle than it is on in New Hope, just because it's little things. Like he's still always trying to find the next adventure. Like mm-hmm. he's always volunteering for the mission. He's always looking for something new, and when he can't do that, that's the point where he exhibits the most sort of unhealth or like negative yeah. response.
Yeah.
Is yeah.
On the positive side, I think that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. On the positive side, his idealism comes out in lines like, I'm a Jedi like my father was before me.
Right.
I'm gonna choose to see the best here. Mm-hmm. If it's the case that affect and idealism for sevens go together and it just colors kind of a lot of the ways that you end up trying to get the things you want, pushing towards here's the positive with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to choose to see my alcoholic father as redeemable is something I could totally see a seven
sure.
going towards.
Yeah. And I am a Jedi like my father before me. Like there is a sort of embracing the destiny aspect of that. So much of this story is Luke being told who he is and who he's supposed to be and him rejecting that narrative because he doesn't want to be pinned down. And then here he is embracing, I am this thing. And just like my father before me, I have a path that I have to walk.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. The adventurousness ends up being the thing that Yoda and Obi-Wan routinely either... Well, Obi-Wan feeds it at some points.
You must learn the ways of the Force if you're to come with me to Alderaan.
What?
Yeah.
There's a door open?
Yeah.
But on the flip side, Yoda says something at the end of Empire, or the middle of Empire, if you choose the quick and easy path, you'll become an agent of evil.
Mm-hmm.
That is entirely about his sevenness.
Yeah.
You got to calm down, brother.
You have to stay here and finish your training.
And Obi-Wan's character routinely gets worse and worse and worse in my mind. The more that you kind of look at his Enneagram stuff. Vader went way up in value in my mind, and Obi-Wan has diminished significantly. And this is one of those spots where Obi-Wan is on one side saying you need to come with me, Alderaan. On another side, he's saying,
patience.
You know, you need to do the stoic thing that we teach in the Jedi tradition. Mm. And Luke rightly says,
and sacrifice Han and Leia.
I have real people in my life versus your ideals. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm going to choose.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to choose his friends.
Right.
But that's one of those. It's you are putting forth two options. Neither one of them is bad. Mm-hmm. Both of them are actually highly valuable. Not only are they both valuable, they both have massive existential worth. You get to be a Jedi. You have friends who are the only ones who have cared for you at the level that you've actually ever wanted, and you've gone on adventures of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, quick, choose.
Yeah, he wants the adventure.
Is it the adventure, or is it, I want to circle back to, he actually loves those people.
I think that is absolutely there. I think the immediate response is about the adventure. The only reason that he cares about those people is because he loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
And the reason that Vader torturing them is able to cause him to go over there is because he loves them.
That adventurousness and not wanting to be stuck. That's the seven. In a lot of ways. At the beginning of Empire, they want to reassert this, and you know, Luke is flying one of those fighters against the AT-ATs. And his co-pilot says, I feel like I could take on the whole empire myself. Mm-hmm. And Luke has this meditative moment, and he says, I know what you mean.
Yep.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
And then there is the, I'm not going to be stuck. I would love to push into this for a moment. Like, cause we've talked about this quite a bit already, but I think that's where the seven really comes forth in Luke's character.
Yeah.
And you can see the type. Everyone is telling him what his destiny is. Mm-hmm. He is stuck on Dagobah. The Emperor's temptations towards a seven, I think, are real interesting here. So here's one of the dialogues. Emperor says about the lightsaber.
You want this, don't you? The heat is swelling in you now. Take your Jedi weapon. Use it. I am unarmed. Strike me down with it. Give in to your anger. With each passing moment, you make yourself more my servant.
This is one of the places Palpatine doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
That's not what you say to a seven.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna put you in a box. I'm mm-hmm. gonna put you in a cage. Yeah. This is, you're coming down this. He's like, and of course.
Well, and the thing that as it builds does actually offer some kind of value in the Emperor's favor there is that everything is going wrong and Luke is losing. That is the place where he's stuck. He's watching the attack on the Death Star completely fail.
Come on.
He's standing next to his father who is still serving.
Yes.
And like the only thing he has, nothing left.
He's got one play.
That's the thing that eventually works.
That's good. Yeah. It's worth, obviously, this character is worth talking about. So I do want to talk about sevens and running from pain. Mm-hmm. Sevens and scheming is all over Luke's character, it seems to me. And we could circle back to love. But there's at the end of Empire, Luke has been told that Darth Vader is his father. Mm-hmm. We all know this.
Yeah.
His response is really interesting. He jumps off the building, right. You know?
He says, no, that can't be true.
Yeah. At the end of Return of the Jedi, he burns his father's body. Mm-hmm. It is I'm going to move on. At the end of Force Awakens, he tried to do what Yoda said, pass on what you've learned. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. He runs away.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, his words to Rey.
I will never train another generation of Jedi. I came to this island to die. It's time for the Jedi to end.
Why do you think I chose the hardest location in the entire galaxy?
Yeah.
That strikes me as a great image of the Seven is routinely fleeing from pain.
Yep. Yep.
Anything else on him in terms of fleeing from pain?
The way that he pushes against emotional negativity just all over the place. Like his reactions to Han, his whole relationship with his uncle. Like he's just constantly pushing away from emotional negativity.
That is so good. Yeah. That I had not put my finger on it. That's what I needed.
Yeah.
Because he does, he has an arc. And I know that Mark Hamill didn't really like how they did Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
The arc, however, I think is spot on in terms of Enneagram type. Because it culminates with Yoda force ghosting into the situation. And he's running from pain. He's going to burn down all the Jedi stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to be trapped by this tradition anymore. I'm going to set it on fire.
Right.
This is where love, again, unveils itself in a profound way. Yoda's dead now. So Yoda may know some new stuff. Yoda is loving Luke by setting that temple on fire.
Right.
When that happened, my heart broke watching that. I was like, well, he's caring for him now.
It's a move towards freedom. It's like that in that it's releasing unhealthy him. Seven place, like he went to the seat of the Jedi wisdom to say, the thing that I have to do is protect this until it dies with me. And Yoda says, be free, man. You do not have to do that anymore.
This gets set up with a throwaway line that you're focused on Rey earlier and how Rey's interpreting the Force. And Luke, I think Luke is entirely the focus of Last Jedi, and this is why people don't like it. So they don't understand this is actually a really worthwhile end for this character.
It's called The Last Jedi. The movie is about Luke.
But he says to her, she has an experience, and he says,
you went straight to the dark.
That place was trying to show me something.
It offered something you needed. And you didn't even try to stop yourself.
That's what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
Rey says something to him that is the thing you have to hear about this character. She says,
but I didn't see you. Nothing from you. You've closed yourself off from the Force.
Because he's shut himself off to emotions entirely because of the dark side.
It's to the Force itself, it seems to me.
Yep.
It's again, he strikes me as that priest who's walked away from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up being like he's out there drunk. He's drinking blue milk from they obviously are trying to make that as disgusting as possible, showing those cows or whatever they are.
An interesting note about the whole montage, though, is that he looks like he's having a blast.
It's true. He's going to pole vault across it.
And like these like sort of smarmy looks that he's given her while she's spying on him, like he is having a blast doing this.
Why don't you train me? I've seen your schedule.
Yeah.
You're not busy.
Yeah.
It's so true. He is having a blast. That's good. Well, that ends up, I think that's the setup for the payoff with Yoda. So the dialogue with Yoda.
Master Yoda.
Young Skywalker.
I'm ending all of this. The tree, the text, the Jedi. I'm gonna burn it down.
And that's when Yoda summons lightning and starts laughing. I don't see this as a seven, but Luke says,
the sacred Jedi texts.
Oh, read them, have you?
Well, on page turners, they were not. Skywalker, still looking to the horizon, you're here, now. The need in front of your nose.
Here's your seven.
I was weak, unwise.
Lost Ben Solo, you did. Lose Rey, we must not.
I can't be what she needs me to be.
Because he knows what he is supposed to do.
Heeded my words not, did you? Pass on what you have learned.
Strength, mastery. But weakness, folly, failure also. Yes, failure most of all. The greatest teacher failure is. We are what they grow beyond. That is the true burden of all masters.
Failure in threes goes together.
Yeah.
Failure in sevens is not something that I would pair naturally. You got thoughts on that?
There is a fair three-ishness to the idea of failure, but I don't think that Luke's quote-unquote failure here is about his appearance. I think the reason that he feels like he's failed is because of his attachment to the thing that was giving him security. And in his sevenness and pushing away from all negativity, like, he almost kills his nephew because of the bad thing that he sees there. And the failure is more about his inability to reconcile the dark side that he sees there.
To re-bring it in, they never talk about love. But a failure of his is not being able to love Ben Solo.
Right. Yeah.
If he did the same thing he did with his father,
mm-hmm.
he's like, there is darkness there, but I'm going to love you through this.
Right.
He would have won.
Right.
And he didn't.
And he goes so far into the Jedi Order that the dark side becomes something that has to be destroyed.
Ooh, yes. Yes!
And then he fails because he has completely missed on loving another person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, so much of these films is about how there is toxicity in the extremes,
mm-hmm.
and that includes the light side.
Right.
The stoic vision, the cutting off all emotion.
Right.
Vision.
Right.
But the through line is love is the balance.
And it has always been the case that the thing that we are looking for in the Star Wars universe is bringing balance to the Force.
Yeah.
It's not eliminating the dark side. It's bringing balance to the Force. That's what they're always talking about.
And this is the interesting thing, because it's such a, you know, it's a space opera.
Right.
It's the cowboys in white hats and the bad guys in black hats.
Right.
And Star Wars itself over time grows up.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the great things about these films. By the time, and I realize you haven't seen this, but by the time you get to Clone Wars and you get to the Ahsoka character, Ahsoka is the first gray Jedi that they show on film.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Force user. She steps away from Jedi faith. She ends up pushing into this. She, before Luke, is pushing into the power of love.
Mm-hmm.
There's another character named Kanan who's in Rebels, and I just got a chance to see the fourth season of Rebels. For those of you who have seen this, damn. There's this character has a fantastic set of, near the end, it's just tremendous. But they are showcasing these Force users who are part of the Jedi tradition. They've grown up in this, doing exactly what Luke does here.
Mm-hmm.
They have to remove themselves from the Jedi Order.
Right.
And what happens is they've climbed up that ladder in order to push it away.
Right.
And once they've pushed it away, they discover a different and more powerful element to the universe, and that's the Force of love.
Right.
And that's all over Ahsoka's character, Kanan's character, and it's on film. It's here with Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Empire goes.
Right.
Because that's why he's, again, it seems to me, that's why he's going to his friends.
Well, and this is where Last Jedi goes as well. Like, it's like we said, he comes to save, he comes in that moment not to destroy Kylo, not to, there's so much more about what he's doing than just making sure that the rebels get away.
Although that's a big part of it.
That is a big part of it. That's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Is that he is stepping into a place where he is saving them so that they can get away. But there's so much more about what he's doing, and it has everything to do with his dialogue with Kylo while he's force projecting himself there. Is that, like, he is trying to save him by not fighting him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He literally can't fight him. But
he goes out and apologizes.
Right.
I've failed you.
Right.
Are you here to save my soul?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
I'm here to apologize.
I failed you, Ben. I'm sorry.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah. This is not the scene with Obi-Wan and Anakin in Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
This is about doing everything that he can to save Kylo Ren.
There is a rejection of utility, for lack of a better term. It's like, are you here to save my soul? Mm-hmm. No, this isn't how things work. I'm not trying to have power over you.
Right.
Because that's not how love works.
Right.
I'm here to apologize to you.
Mm-hmm.
Bang.
Yep.
And then that is what it is.
Yep.
I'll see you around, kid.
Yep.
And he reminds him of love.
Right.
Because, I mean, we haven't talked about this character yet, but he reminds him of his father's love for him.
Right.
And notice, the whole universe is getting infected by the power of love through Luke Skywalker here. Come on.
It's a whole thing.
Just to do the full deep dive, Luke is a schemer.
Yep.
He's got plans.
Yep.
He's going to rescue Han.
the whole rescue scene of getting Han away from Jabba the Hutt.
I've thought of everything.
Oh, man. Is just a spectacular scheme. And, like, putting all the pieces into play. Who knows how long Lando's been there?
That's right. Poor Lando. Lando in Return of the Jedi. I'm excited to talk about this because I don't know what to make of Lando in Return of the Jedi.
Who cares? He's going to be back in the new one.
He's going to be back. Okay,
oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
As the final wrap-up on Luke.
Yep.
My second favorite dialogue. Actually, this is one of my favorite dialogues in all the film. Everything's my favorite. You guys know this. But his conversation with Yoda, where he understands who Yoda is for the first time,
mm-hmm.
is tremendous.
Yeah.
And it's just like everything in Empire, it ends on a very down note.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
Because Luke is in his little hut, and he says,
look, I'm sure it's delicious. I just don't understand why we can't see Yoda now.
Because he's stuck and he wants to go on a mission.
Yeah.
Patience! For the Jedi, it is time to eat as well.
Hmm? How far away is Yoda? Will it take us long to get there?
What are we doing here?
Let's go.
Not far. Yoda, not far. Patience. Soon you will be with him. Why wish you become Jedi?
Hmm? Mostly because of my father, I guess.
He doesn't even have a real reason to do it. It's just the next adventure.
Ah, father. How for Jedi was he?
Oh, come on. How could you know my father? You don't even know who I am. No, I don't even know what I'm doing here. We're wasting our time.
He doesn't want to be stuck.
I cannot teach him. The boy has no patience.
He will learn patience.
By the way, Alec Guinness
mm-hmm.
signed on for Empire and said, you will give me 0.25% of all that Empire would ever make from here to eternity.
Sure.
For 4 hours of work. He said, I will give you from 11 to 3 on this day.
Oh, man. Imagine being so important that you have that kind of power over George Lucas.
I think, no, yeah, right? That's exactly. Lucas, it's like, you know what? I got to do it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
We completely abandoned the original emperor.
I have no idea how many billions of dollars Empire made, but I would sure like a quarter of a point of that.
You will learn patience.
Much anger in him. Like his father.
We didn't really talk about Luke and anger. Like, but that's a thing that's kind
of
there.
Yeah, it's the frustration of the idealism.
Oh, there it is. It's the frustration. Come on, man. I kept looking at 8, 9, and 1. I'm like, is 9, 8, 9, 1?
Nope.
Doesn't work? Yeah. Okay, it's frustration.
It's frustration. Come it's not on. Real anger in the same way.
This is why he's the... There it is. T.J. Wilson, Jedi Master. Obi-Wan says,
was I any different when you taught me?
He's not ready.
Yoda.
I am ready. Ben, I can be a Jedi. Ben, tell him I'm ready.
And then Yoda exposes the heart of a Seven.
Ready, are you? What knows you ready? For 800 years have I trained Jedi. I don't counter what I keep on who is to be trained. A Jedi must have the deepest commitment, the most serious mind. This one, a long time have I watched. All his life has he looked away to the future, to the horizon, never his mind on where he was, what he was doing. Adventure, excitement. A Jedi craves not these things. You are reckless.
Just tears.
Yep.
A part of Seven.
Yep.
Obi-Wan trying to patch this up.
So was I, if you remember.
He is too old. Yes, too old to begin the training.
But I've learned so much.
Will he finish what he begins?
Now, I don't know of other Sevens that struggle with that.
Only if you don't know other Sevens. It's a huge problem for Sevens.
That's also what's going to happen. He's not going to finish what he began.
Right.
He's going to leave and try and save his friends.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite line in all of film.
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
Not afraid because you don't know what you're talking about.
Such a good line. I cry every time I see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's again, not an up. They just crash that plane. Just say, like, this is not going to, it's Luke's line from Jedi. This is not going to go the way you think.
Yep.
Brings us to another Seven.
Uh-oh.
Where do you got Yoda?
Oh, I do not have Yoda as a Seven.
I got Yoda as a Seven. So we're going to cut this discussion in half right here. This is a good place to take a break. You can find all of the links to all of our stuff at aroundthecircle.org. Events that we have, ways to jump into finding your own personality type. And as always, stars, reviews, these are always appreciated and help people find our work. And that's what I got. You got anything else?
I got nothing, man.
It's DJ Wilson. It's officially awesome. I'm Jeff Cook. We'll see you next time.
Why so serious?
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.